Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So welcome to episode number 40, you guys. I was talking to someone recently and they brought up the idea of judging a book by its cover. And we've all heard the phrase, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. But as I have spent more time in this bookish and publishing world, I've learned that I disagree with that statement. As controversial as it may sound, I really think you should judge a book by its cover. And when necessary, I think you should DNF books too. But that is what we are here to talk about today. However, before we get into this episode, though, I want to let you guys know that the sponsor book for this podcast episode is A Bitter Pill to Swallow by Tiffany Golar. This young adult historical fiction follows the perspectives of four different characters whose lives intersect inside of a mental health institution in Chicago's medical district. Jamina, who has been there so long she feels too safe to leave, Devante, who is depressed, suicidal, and unable to escape his memories, Dr. Gail Thomas, who makes a hard pivot from medical resident to counselor, and Dr. Luckin, the director who keeps everyone's secrets, including his own. This book released in November of 2017, and you can read the full description of the book on the Melanin Library website. Just head to melaninlibrary.com or check the link in the show notes. If you're an author and would like to see your book advertised with us, then check out the services page on the Melanin Library website or check the link in the show notes. But that's it. Let's get into this episode. So, I'm gonna be real with y'all. This podcast episode is probably going to be one of my shorter ones because I know exactly what I'm trying to say and I'm be make it very clear so that you ain't got no reason not to listen all the way to the end. So let's start at the beginning about judging a book by its cover. I am a huge proponent of judging a book by its cover because you already do it. And whether you're like, oh my God, Chelsea, I'm evolved. I don't do that. You're lying. Okay. Everybody looks at a cover and they're like, oh, this is cute. And they look for details and clues that this is going to be something that they enjoy. And I am an advocate of doing this because it's just like, you should do it. It gives you so much information on the kind of book that you are picking up. It helps people decide if it's something they would enjoy or not, and it attracts the attention of the audience that the author is looking for. Meaning that the cover of a children's book, it's going to look like a children's book. It's going to have a certain aspect ratio. It's going to have a certain number of pages. It's going to have certain colors. If it's for younger readers, it might even be a board book. You know, it's going to look like the demographic it's trying to target. Same thing with older books, especially like young adult and adult books. Like part of the reason there was a wave of books that get miscategorized as young adult is because of the way that it looks. And there are a lot of people who use this to their benefit. And I feel like as an indie author, I wish more people would stop being like, oh, I don't want people to judge my book by the cover. Like, no, you want them to. So invest in a cover. It's literally why with my clients, I am always like, if you are going to invest in anything in your book, like you're like, I have a tight budget. I can't afford to do this, this, that, and the other. Then I always, always, always recommend you pay for two things. You pay for editing and you pay for a cover, because those are the two things that are going to attract your book. People love to get something that looks nice because there are going to be a lot of people, and I feel like authors don't want to admit this because we have so much pride and we pour so much of ourselves onto the page. But there's a whole demographic of people who just buy books to look at them. They're never going to read it. So get a good cover so your book can fall into that demographic. And then there's also the demographic of people who are like, I don't care what the cover looks like. I'm going to take the dust jacket off it anyway. I just want to know what the content is. So pay for an editor, get the content right, and pay for an artist, get the cover right. And then you get the best of both worlds. But part of the reason I think you should judge a book by a cover, especially when it comes to self-published and indie published books, is because I personally, and you can take this with a grain of salt and you can disagree with me if you like, I just ask that you do it respectfully. I personally believe that when you are self-published, you put as much effort into your book as you think that your book is worth. And that means that if you think that your book is worth it, you're going to put time and effort and energy into deciding what you want your cover to look like, how you want it formatted, the kind of text that you want, how you want the aspect ratio to be, what size you want it to be, if you want a paperback or a hardback. If you want a dust jacket or you want a laminate cover, you're going to do your research and you're going to make it as visually appealing as you possibly can. And when you have a book where the cover looks like it was quick and it was done and there wasn't a lot of care gone into it, 9 times out of 10, you can open up that book and tell that there wasn't a lot of care gone into it. And even if the care and the love is there, sometimes the skill isn't there. And this may be hard for some authors to hear, but sometimes your skill does not match up with where your heart is, and that's okay. Sometimes you need to take the time to perfect the skill so it matches your level of devotion. That's okay. But a cover is supposed to be the first representation that people get of your book. That is why you have things like blind date with a book, okay? The purpose of a blind date is to get past the physical aesthetic, and it's acknowledging the fact that people will absolutely judge and make decisions off of a physical aesthetic. And also, as a minority author, I feel like judging a book by its cover is so important because at least for me, I am absolutely going to check to see if there's a person of color on the cover. And then I'm going to absolutely check to see if the author is also a person of color, because as a Black woman, I want to read stories with characters who look like me. And bonus points if there is a Black person on the cover, because that answers one of my questions right away. And the second question is, okay, I know there is a Black person in this book. Now I want to know if it was written by a Black person, if this perspective is going to be authentic or not. That's how I look for books. That's how I judge them. And it's also how people remember things, because I feel like when people are like, don't judge a book by its cover, there's also this whole aspect of like disregarding social media and the fact that pretty covers sell books. Pretty covers get traction. Pretty covers are the ones that readers remember so that when they go into a bookstore, they know what they're looking for. Or if it pops up in the peripheral, they're like, oh, I've seen it before. There is a reason why we try to create pretty covers. And I feel like this idea that you should not be judging a book by its cover is so antiquated. It's very much giving kindergarten, let's all hold hands and sing together. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But I'm also saying there's a time and a place for everything. And there's nuance in the world that I feel like as adults, as authors, it should be acknowledged sometimes. The fact that there is a reason why we put covers on books in the first place. Because it sells the book. Presentation is everything. So that's rant number one. Rant number two is something that I'm probably also going to have as a controversial opinion, but that is that as an author, speaking specifically to authors, I believe that you should DNF books often. And if you're like, Chelsea, what does DNF mean? DNF means does not finish, did not finish, do not finish, whatever you want to call it. The N and the F are not finish, okay? And I am a huge advocate that as an author, you should be selective about what books that you read. And there are multiple reasons for this, right? One is you internalize everything that you consume. So you do not want to consume a bunch of bad writing. And that is because when we see things, we start to normalize them. We start to become desensitized to them. Just think about how when you were a kid, some things were just like, oh my God, this is amazing. The first time you drove a car, your heart was racing, you're nervous. All these emotions are going through your mind because you've never done it before. And now as an adult, you probably get into a car and you don't even think about it. You can get from your job to your work without even needing to truly pay attention, which honestly isn't that great of a thing. You should probably always be paying attention, but you get what I'm saying here with the analogy. The point is, when you are surrounded by something, you internalize it. You consume it. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a natural part of your environment. And for better or for worse, no matter how evolved you think yourself to be, no matter high level thinking you are, when you consume content, you become an amalgamation of everything that you consume, for better or for worse. And it's really important as an author to consume good content. So if you are reading a book or reading books constantly that do not feed you, that do not add to your creativity, and you're just like, it's okay. I don't like it. I'm gonna just get through it because I'm already committed to it. Like, no. Put a book down. And also, just as like a personal thing, I'm also a huge believer that life is short. You don't get that time back. And there are so many books in the world that you are never going to be able to read every single book that exists currently. You are never going to get through your TBR. For some people, that's a beautiful thing. For some people, that's a stressful thing. I don't know which camp you fall into if you're listening to this. However, The fact of it remains that there is too much content for you to be able to enjoy, for you to be stuck on something that you do not enjoy. Because here's the thing, if you're trying to support an author, buying the book, reading the book, checking the book out of the library is supporting them in and of itself immediately. But if you don't like a book, no one's going to know if you don't finish that book except for you, unless you talk about it. That is between you and whoever you pray to. Okay, if you don't pray to someone, that's fine. That's between you and your mama, your daddy, sister, cousin, whoever you choose to tell, right? But the point is that you should not be locked into something simply because you started it. I don't believe in that mentality at all, but also not to the detriment of your own writing and your own career, because like at this moment, I'm speaking specifically to authors and the idea that, you know, we all start out as readers. We enjoy reading 9 times out of 10 if we make the leap to becoming an author, especially a self-published or indie author, right? It usually stems from, I love to read. I love to read as a kid. I love to read as a teenager. I used to devour books all the time. It's okay to acknowledge that that is who you are. And it's also okay to acknowledge that now that I am creating content, I consume content differently. And I was talking to one of my mentoring clients about it. And she pointed out, she was like, you know, I don't read like I used to. And it's a little different for her because she started out as an actual reviewer in this bookish space. And so she just kind of mentioned that, you know, I can't read as fast as I did before because, you know, I'm writing. And I was like, yeah, when you start writing books, the way you consume books starts to change. And that's not a bad thing. But it's also important to remember that as an author, even if we read books, even if we offer our opinions on books, we are not book reviewers. You have to pick a side of the line, and that's a whole other conversation about authors who try to exist in both spaces and the conflicts that come between it. I have my opinions on it, but this is not what that podcast is about. It's about the fact that the general, very, very general, hard and fast rule is that if you are an author, you are not a book reviewer. Meaning that if you are an author, most book reviewers do not want you in that space because it's very easy to get offended as an author when you are talking to book reviewers who purely consume content for their own enjoyment. It is a completely different mindset to consume something purely for enjoyment than to consume it in the effort to glean something from it, which is another really big point that I feel like some authors kind of forget or they kind of gloss over time. And that is, you should be analyzing the writing that you consume. And I'm not saying that you have to be dissecting every line. I'm not saying that you have to be dissecting every page. I'm not saying that you should be dissecting every single word in a book of every book that you read. That's not what I'm implying. But I am implying there should be something that you take from every book that you read in the sense of it's improving who you are as a writer, as a creator. It's improving your craft. It is something that you can appreciate. And even if it's, this book was so well done, I did not notice the elements of the craft until I was done. But every book has elements of the craft. So if you are reading content, even if it's something that you don't like, because here's the other side of that, right? If you're reading a book that you don't like, it should still be from a perspective of this is why this isn't working. That is how you get better at your craft. And it's one of the things that I kind of get on a soapbox about, because I feel like there are so many writers who are like, I'm trying not to think about reading. I'm trying not to think about reading. And it's just like, you have to think about reading. You have to, because that's how you get better. If you want to get better at writing, read books. And it's the same advice that any artist of any medium is going to tell you. If you want to work in animation, watch cartoons. If you want to be a screenwriter, watch movies. If you want to write for television, watch TV. If you want to be an artist, look at paintings. If you want to do anything, if you want to create music, if you want to be a singer, listen to music and listen to a wide variety. Take in a wide variety of things, but also pay attention to what you are consuming. I feel like as authors, especially as self and indie published authors, when we make that leap from being a consumer to being an author, it's really hard to give up that, oh, I just want to consume brain. And it's like, yes, you have to consume, but you have to consume with intention. And that is why I think as an author, you should absolutely be DNFing books that are not adding to your craft. If they're not adding to your little bag of tools that you can pull from later when you sit down to the computer or to your notebook or to your typewriter or to wherever it is that you sit down, if it's not adding to your little bag of tools to pull from, then it's not something that you should really be spending your time on, in my opinion. For sure, there are some things that we enjoy simply because we enjoy them, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't indulge in those. But I'm saying that when you pick up a book and you're reading it and you're like, this isn't good, I don't like the writing, there are a lot of grammatical mistakes, this is breaking a lot of rules that I don't think this book should be breaking, then that is when you have to make a decision to be like, am I going to finish this? And not be beholden to this idea of, oh, I have to finish it because I started it. That does not help anyone. It doesn't help the author. It doesn't help you. And if you don't like it, even if you do leave a review, that's not really helping anyone else either, because 9 times out of 10, very generally speaking, blanket statement, do not take this personally if it does not apply to you. But generally speaking, as authors, we also try to be mindful of the fact of when we leave reviews, we are also coming at it from a space of, as an author, people leave reviews for us. So we want to not be harsh and too critical, because we know what it is to be on the other side of that. It's that same feeling of when a teacher is judging someone on a presentation, it's like they know what it's like to give a presentation. And so they're coming at it from that mindset. Just like the car analogy at the beginning of this podcast, right? If you see someone who's like, hey, this is a student driver, you give them space and you give them patience and you give them grace, because you know what it is to have been a student driver at some point. So it's the same thing with authors leaving reviews. We understand what it's like to have someone be critical of something that we have created. So we try to be mindful of the critiques that we leave other people on the internet. And if that's the case, then if you didn't enjoy the book, then what benefit is there in finishing it? You know, at least that's how I think about it. And the main thing is that, for me at least, if there is nothing to take from the book, then don't waste your time. There are too many books that are good and well written that you can learn from, and too many resources. And that kind of goes into like the whole idea of what this entire podcast is about. And that's the fact that as an author, you should always be learning. You should always be improving. You should always be putting your best self forward. You should always be striving to be better than you were before. And I feel like when you DNF a book, you are saying that this is not getting me to the next step of where I'm trying to go. And when you put effort into creating a nice cover, you're acknowledging the fact that you want people to see that growth and acknowledge that growth and be on this journey with you and appreciate what it is that you are doing, because the cover is going to sell the book, but you know, your heart and your soul is what goes on the page, and you want people to pick it up. And I'm not gonna say have reverence for it, but at the very least, you want them to respect it. You want them to go into it expecting something good and getting something out of it. So with that being in mind, I know that this was kind of a rant episode of the podcast, but it was just kind of sitting on me, like on my heart, because I was just like, I talk to a lot of authors, especially people who are like, they want to start their writing journey. They're at the very beginning of it. And that mentality shift that has to go from, I'm just consuming books, to creating them. It is a mind shift. It is. And I'm not saying that every author reads less. I'm saying that it is common for authors to read less than they did when they were only reading books and they were not writing them. If that doesn't apply to you, then I understand. I'm just making general blanket generalizations on this podcast. It's not meant to offend anyone. However, it's just something that I have noticed talking to people, and it's something that I know comes across, especially with newer authors who are like, I used to read all the time, but now I don't. And now it's so hard to read because I can't look at a book without thinking about it. And it's like, that's good. Lean into it. And I feel like once you can hone that ability to really think about a book, then you kind of transcend to the other side of it, where you're like, I can analyze this book, but I can also enjoy it. And I say that as someone who has just recently gotten to the other side of that, where it's just like, oh, I see that this is working for this author, but also I'm enjoying it because this is working. The book that I read recently, Their Vicious Games by Joelle Wellington, I really enjoyed it because while I was reading, I was like locked into the book and I was just like, what comes next? But as an author, I was like, I love how she has done the pacing in this book, because it is just the right timing for when other characters are introduced, when other conversations are had, when she amps up the tension so that you are really locked into the game and you're like, oh snap, what is coming next? But also there's a balance of like, okay, you have a second to breathe, but that even that moment of being able to catch her breath builds tension. And I think she does it really well. And it's part of the reason why I'm like, okay, this is a book that I have finished. So if you've ever been on my platform, if you listen to the Melanin Chat, which is on my YouTube channel, or if you listen to the podcast, you know, I'll tell people like, hey, I'm not really big on, you know, finishing books. Like, I will start books, but I will not finish them. And part of it is exactly this. If I feel like there is nothing for me to gain as an author, I'm not going to read it. But there are some books where I'm like, this is good. And when a book is good, I want to be able to say that and for my words to hold weight, to understand that I'm not just saying this from a reader perspective that the book is good, but from an author perspective. Because as an author and the kind of content I create, that is where I come from. I want to be able to say that, hey, if you like young adult thrillers, this is a book that you can pick up and take something from. Same thing with Delicious Monsters by Lizelle Sanberry. If you like young adult thrillers with multi-family generational things and haunted houses and supernatural elements, then Delicious Monsters is an amazing book to pick up and to read, because Lizelle masters so many elements of that book, from the pacing to the dual perspectives to the voices of her characters, that even if you just read it and you don't realize that you're picking something up from it, you are picking up really great tools to be able to pull on later on in the future. And so the purpose of me giving all of this advice about DNFing books and judging books by their cover is so that you keep in mind that as an author, everything that you're picking up is going into your bag of tools, and it's really hard to build and craft a story when you have no tools to pull from, or if the tools that you're pulling from no longer suit what you're trying to do. So if you're at the beginning of your journey, then sure, books that are not as great craft level, not saying bad, but books that are not as great craft level may still suit you. But once you've done it and you've sat down and you've practiced your skill and you've grown your craft to a certain level, then certain books are just not going to hit the way they used to. And you're going to start challenging the authors that you pick up and read to be better. And that's okay. It's just like if you play video games, you know, when you start the game, the tools and the weapons that you use on level 1 are not the same tools and the weapons and the gear that you're using on level 45 once you've leveled up. That's okay. You get better, you use better things, you get better tools. That's just kind of how it works. But I'm not going to stay on the soapbox. Like I said, it was just something that I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I get kind of passionate about it, especially, like I said, with newer authors, and just being like, it's okay. It's okay if you don't read like you used to. It's okay if you want to read books that are going to challenge you. And it's okay to walk away from a book that you feel like is not adding to you as an author. It's okay. It's good. There's nobody to prove it to. You're fine. Set the book down and walk away. And on a side note that I'm just going to slide in here at the end, it's totally okay if you don't like the popular authors either, because I definitely fall into that boat, and we're going to leave that at that. So yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast, you guys. If you found this podcast helpful and would like to speak with me one-on-one about your book, or have any questions about self or indie publishing, then check out my mentoring services. I'm always happy to help, and your first 30-minute consultation is free. If you'd like to support the podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Grab a copy of my books, We Are the Origin and We Are Dying Gods, from my website, cmlockhart.com, or request my book at your local library. You can also sign up for my Patreon to make sure that I have time to create quality books and content for you guys. And you can do that by going to patreon.com/cmlockhart. There are links in the show notes for everything. And as always, I appreciate you guys for listening. So until next time, I hope your days are lovely and your books are full of melanin. Bye, you guys.